Hey folks, before we start this episode, we recorded this a couple weeks ago before the tragic death of Kobe Bryant. So that is not talked about in this episode, but we will definitely be talking about it on the next show after this.
It's the Dearly Departed podcast, featuring your host, historian Scott Michaels, and filmmaker Mike Dorsey.
And it's another episode of Dearly Departed. It's episode 17 and one of our mini episodes, recorded here right after our Woodstock show. So hello again, everybody.
Greetings.
For us, it's been like 2 minutes, and for you, it's been a couple of weeks.
And it's so good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you again. So
we are the best looking people you will ever hear.
Certainly the best sounding, I think. Yeah. We got good podcast voices. We'd like to do a shout out again to BetterHelp.com, which is BetterHelp.com, which is our first sponsor. And if you go to BetterHelp.com/DearlyDeparted, you get 10% off your first month. And BetterHelp is an online counseling website.
I mean, they'll help you with really what you need help with. They'll
right.
guide you to the right direction.
Yeah, so it's not a crisis hotline.
Right.
It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online, and you can do it either by messages or you can do via video chat with trained, licensed professionals.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. I feel like therapy is a big deal. I think it's really important people can get through things that way. And just reach out. It cannot hurt. It cannot hurt.
Yeah, I haven't done it much. As a kid, I did therapy. Just my mom made us go because it was divorced parents and all that stuff as a precaution. I've never done it. It was probably why I just have so much rage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you could do like Debbie Reynolds did and send Carrie to Cary Grant's house to do acid.
There you go.
That was their therapy back then, acid therapy.
But, that is not endorsed by BetterHelp.com, but it does seem like a really cool site. I checked it out. And we thank them again for being our first supporters.
I mean, if you're self-conscious at all about going to get help, that's the beauty of it. You do it from home.
You do it in your underwear from your computer. Yeah,
it's anonymity if you need it to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
And it's fast. It's within 24 hours. Yeah. They connect you with somebody. So deaths of the month is what we're talking about here for the month of February. And what this is one of our mini episodes. We go back and basically look at, I guess, favorite deaths or notable deaths of the month of February throughout history.
The greatest
pop culture.
Hits.
Yeah, the greatest hits of Feb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I made a list of some of the people that have died in the past in February death dates. And February 1st in 1988 was Heather O'Rourke, the little girl from the Poltergeist movie.
We covered that.
Mm-hmm. Her.
We did our Poltergeist show, so go back and listen to that.
Don Cornelius, who was the host of Soul Train on television for many, many years, died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound on February 1st, 2012. Philip Seymour Hoffman in 2014 died on February 2nd.
That was one of those ones that really hit me and a lot of people pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know about his heroin issues, which had, were years old.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea he had a history of heroin issues, and he relapsed and overdosed in New York.
As did Sid Vicious, who also died on that day in 1979.
Same day?
Well, it's February 2nd, yeah, not the same date.
Oh, right, sure,
same day.
Oh, wow.
Of the year. And Al Lewis also died on the 3rd of February in 2006. He was only 82, Grandpa Munster. He seemed like he was 105 40 years ago, he seemed like he was ancient. So he was only 82 when he died in 2006. On that date in 1991, Nancy Culp from the Beverly Hillbillies, who was another one we covered in the past, Miss Jane Hathaway, passed away in Palm Springs. Liberace on the 4th of February 1987 died of the AIDS. Mm.
Died still looking for a nice girl to marry.
Yeah, he loved his mother, though. That's what, you ever go to the Liberace? You'd never been, I'm sure.
No.
The Liberace Museum in Vegas was something else. And there was like the blue hairs that were working there. And, you just sort of imply how he died. And then people like, he loved his mother very much. It's like really.
And we can see his apartment building from my apartment.
Oh, we sure can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right off there. A lot of people don't know that he owned
that was,
he owned an entire building in kind of central mid-city Los Angeles. And he lived on the top, where he had a penthouse apartment, I guess, on the top floor of this apartment.
That
nice
was the one that Scott
building.
Got when they split up and he sued for galimony, which is the term that was coined at that point.
I never heard that term before.
Yeah, he had, that's the apartment. It's so funny to look at it right now and see it. But that's the one he was thrown out of, Liberace's last boyfriend thrown out. He Liberace supposedly told him that's what he was going to get. And Liberace's goons, or I should say Seymour Heller, who was Liberace's agent, which is it's interesting. I'm just looking at this. Dan Aykroyd played Seymour Heller in the movie, who played Liberace's agent. And the only of Liberace's real residence that they used in the movie was that building. And Dan Aykroyd did a press conference in front of that building in the movie.
Oh, wow.
And when Seymour Heller had his estate sale, I raided it. I have tons of his furniture.
Oh,
and
really?
I have the original documents that he read to the press announcing Liberace's death.
Oh, wow.
And I have that in the... It's just...
Incredible. What movie was that you're talking about?
Behind the Candelabra.
Oh, the one with Michael Douglas. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Matt Damon?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so good.
So that was Scott Thornton, who he played, who was his boyfriend. He got thrown out. And that was the apartment he got thrown out of.
Mm-hmm.
Scott.
Scott. And there's also a great Liberace little glimpse in Good Night and Good Luck. Because they made Murrow kind of do these, you know, stupid celebrity interviews, you know, because he was doing all these he was trying to do hard-hitting news reporting, you know, and then they kept making him do these celebrity, and there's an actual clip of Liberace in it, and there he's doing this, you know, very puff piece interview, and and Liberace in there talks about, you know, wanting to find a nice girl to settle down with, you know, I had to keep the image going,
right.
You know, even though he was the most flamboyant looking person of like his generation at that time, probably. But then they talk about that in that movie. You know, they go to the concerts and all, and the Matt Damon character, Scott, is there, and all the girls are going crazy, and he's kind of like, don't they know?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, they have no idea.
He was a funny guy, Liberace. How do you love it? Well, you paid for it. So also on that day in 1983, Karen Carpenter, who would be 70 years old this year.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And Sonny Gracie from The Outsiders, they sang Time Won't Let Me and Precious and Few. He died he died. He died in Ohio. Here we go. He died in 2017 in Ohio, in Cleveland. Carl Wilson of the Beach Boys died 2 months after his mother, Audrey, died. They're both buried at Westwood Cemetery. And Audrey Wilson, the mother, has a...
How did Carl die?
He had lung cancer.
Oh.
And Audrey Wilson has a... And her little burial niche says the original surfer girl on it, which I think is
quite
sweet. Oh,
no kidding.
Yeah. On February 7th in 2017, Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica died of pancreatic cancer. He had his ashes scattered over Echo Park Lake.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anna Nicole Smith in 1997. Del Shannon in 1990. He committed suicide.
Anna Nicole Smith, man. Now, there's a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about it, but
right.
There's a crazy story.
No, I mean, there's no way to... There was a time, you know, watching the Anna Nicole Smith show was literally... I mean, her book was called Trade Wreck, the one that they wrote about her. She was...
Yeah.
But watching it, we all laughed. We all giggled at what a spectacle she was.
But that was one of the first times when kind of reality TV people started to question, like, should we really be...
She was the
making
second
entertainment
show.
Out of this?
It was
like,
the Osbournes and then Anna Nicole.
Yeah, it was kind of like, should we be...
Yeah.
This person needs help.
It was,
you know,
there was a lot of mileage for jokes in that.
Well, and the crazy makeup thing with her and the baby carriage.
Well,
that
came
like,
out after, I
yeah,
think. That
crazy.
Came out after the show was canceled. But she was, I thought it'd be fun to go revisit those, and don't. They're so sad to watch. They're really hard to watch now.
Yeah.
And you know who's a fan now is Bobby Trendy. He, I've met him several times, and he was the designer. Everything is very, what was his word?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was luxurious. Oh, yeah, sorry, it was really amazing. It was like moist. You know, when you say that. Like, but anyway, we're getting sidetracked. Del Shannon from The Runaways, Runaway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Percy Faith, who was like the godfather of music, of instrumentals, where I'm obsessed. I have like 1,000 Percy Faith records.
Really?
Yeah, LPs I listen to on my huge console. Huh. Troy and I have one. Now, in 1973, Max Yasker, the guy that owned the ranch at Woodstock, died. on February 9th of a heart attack.
Would have been good to have mentioned that during the Woodstock show.
Well, I saved it for this one, so it would tie it in. And he died of a heart attack. He was 53 years old. Now, here's a story, a fascinating story. Hattie Carroll was a barmaid, an African-American woman who was a barmaid in Baltimore. And in 1963, a man by the name of William Devereaux, white guy, 24 years old, was tired of waiting for her, called her a lot of horrible names, and hit her on the head with a pool cue. And she was fine for a while, but it was one of those things that happened a few hours later.
Swelling, and, she doesn't know it.
And she died of a clot, a brain, I guess it was a brain clot from that injury. And he was really abusive to everyone that was working there that was not white. And I was just a really sad story. So she was 51 years old. That guy got a $500 fine and 6 months in jail for that.
Crazy.
And she's not the only one he hit with a pool cue that day. they let him out of jail long enough so he was a farmer, so he could get his crops done, and then he had to serve his 6 months. Bob Dylan wrote the song.
People got to get their wet radishes.
Right. Shirley Temple died of heart disease in 2014. Roy Scheider died of cancer in 2008. We love Roy Scheider. We got to get a bigger boat.
Yeah.
Jan Michael Vincent, heart attack, 2019. Whitney Houston, overdose, 2012. No, drowning, actually.
Uh-huh.
That was her cause of death. Contributing were drugs. But the cause of death was actually drowning. William Conrad, who was the Cannon and Jake and the Fat Man, and he was the voice in all the voiceovers in the Bullwinkle cartoons.
Yeah.
And he died in 94. Sylvia Plath, the author who wrote The Bell Jar, which is largely a lot of people's favorite book ever.
Yeah.
In fact, it was from The Bell Jar that one of my favorite quotes came from. If you expect nothing from somebody, you're never disappointed. And
yeah.
I love that. I use that quote a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she very famously stuck her head in an oven and killed herself that way. But it was more than just that. She sealed up all the doors and the windows. And so Sylvia Plath. Now, Gary Owens from Laugh-In, 2015, the announcer. UB Blake, who was a ragtime composer. I remember him. He used to do the talk show circuits back in the 70s. He died 5 days after his 100th birthday. Steve Strange, the musician from Britain, singer from Visage, died of a heart attack. Waylon Jennings, the singer and songwriter, who famously gave up his seat on the plane crash that killed Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly and Richie Valens and the Big Bopper. Because the bus was cold and they were tired of it, and he gave up his spot on the plane.
It was a flip of a coin or something
like that, yep.
And I don't know if he said, I hope your plane crashes, but there was something like that.
Something like that, yep. This is a joke, yeah.
So Waylon, I don't know. He had a troubled life. I mean, he was smoking 6 packs a day. He had heart surgery. He was a diabetic. He had a foot amputated. I mean, he was a mess.
Yeah.
And he died in 2002. He was 60 years old. David Janssen, Ralph Waite, the father from the Waltons, 2014. Dolly the Sheep, the first cloned that we know of.
That we're aware of.
Yeah. She died in 2003.
And her ashes are spread at Dolly Land.
No, they're not.
Oh, okay.
No. No. Although, you know, Dollywood has... It's not Dolly Land, Mike. Dollywood has a little cemetery there by the Dolly's Theater, and you go behind the theater where the restrooms are, and you walk past this row of, like, planters that's probably 100 yards long, and there's about 50 tombstones.
What?
John Denver, Minnie Pearl, Dottie West.
Was it like the
Johnny
Haunted
Cash.
Mansion at Disneyland?
It's just these weird little stones that
but
are...
But they're not actually there.
No. But it's Dolly's tribute to these guys. And it's really fascinating. I really interesting. So Dolly's little graveyard.
it sounds so cute.
Doug Feiger from The Knack, Wally Cox in 73. Wally Cox, do you remember him?
I know the name.
Well, he's the one that was doing Something He's Got to Give with Marilyn when she died.
Oh, okay.
And he was like the really nerdy guy. He was in a lot of, he was on Hollywood Squares. He was more of a personality than anything else, but he's really close to Marlon Brando. And when Wally Cox died in 1973, his ashes were given to Marlon Brando. And when Marlon Brando died, he had his ashes combined with Wally Cox's, and they spread them over his island in Fiji.
Wow.
I know. It's really weird.
How?
So Wally Cox was a real... Yeah, I mean, Marlon...
Look, with Brando, both... if it was normal, it would be weird.
Right. So. Right. So, okay, so George Dunning died in 1979 on February 15th. He is the guy who directed and produced Yellow Submarine. Now, I didn't realize the movie Yellow Submarine, none of the Beatles wanted anything to do with it. So they somehow got the rights to use the Beatles' music, but they had to get voiceover people to do the voices, Liverpudlian accents or Scouser accents. And but they did it. It was like almost a direct challenge to Disney to do a full-length animated feature.
Sure.
And they did. They expected it to go nowhere, but of course, Yellow Submarine became a huge, huge hit film.
Yeah.
Ringo Starr. That's one of the songs that Yellow Submarine is one of his solo songs, and he wrote Octopus's Garden. Which
yes.
is, I think, a great song.
It's a fantastic song. It's one of my favorite Beatles songs.
Did you ever see Love, the song, the show in Vegas?
No, but I have the album, and that's my favorite.
Oh my
that's my favorite
it.
Mix on the album is the octopus, what they did with Octopus's Garden.
Oh, you got to see it.
Oh,
you'll
yeah?
lose your mind. I mean, the way they do it, you know, they had umbrellas, and they were doing the jellyfish with the umbrellas, just opening it and closing it, and meanwhile going up into the... Into
yeah.
And you're, oh my God, it is so well done.
Wow.
It is literally like you're underwater.
A couple of times in Vegas, I wanted to go and couldn't get other people to go with me. And
yeah.
so you go where the group wants to go, and you
yeah.
don't freaking go. But
go
I've literally, I've gotten to the point where I've stood in line to go get tickets, and had people like, "Nah, because it's at Caesars, I think, right?"
I don't remember. It's at the Mirage, I think.
Oh, is it the Mirage? Okay,
but yeah, I
think you're right.
We never don't see it when we go to Vegas. The Beatles music is pretty psychedelic anyway.
Yeah.
But if you go to this thing, it's like 360. It is so good. He's the only Beatle I've ever seen out in the wild. I saw him out in the wild.
Oh,
in
really?
London. Yeah.
I saw his concert.
He does
the Ringo and his friends thing or whatever it is that he does, which is very odd.
Mm-hmm.
Very odd. And I was the youngest person there by a couple of decades.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good time. Where did you see him in public?
In London. He was walking down King's Road, which is... You know, it was
yeah.
sort of the big 60s drag anyway, but
uh-huh.
it was just,
Were people
yeah.
following
a girl, some girl. I don't know if it was his wife.
But I mean, people were just leaving him alone. Though.
You know, people didn't really clock it because it's always one of those, oh, that could be, you know.
Yeah.
And also in Britain, they got a, you know, it's like sort of the anti-celebrity, you know, we don't really like them. You know, you know, they're great, but we pretend like we don't like them. but no, it was cool. I saw a beetle in the wild. That was neat.
That's a great
And it was
one,
funny, yeah. actually, now I'm just thinking about it. It was right around the corner from the studio where they shot the album cover for Sgt. Pepper.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, because I found that studio over there just to photograph the outside of it.
Yeah.
And, just one of those nerdy things. But it was right there. Forgot about that.
Hmm.
And the Chelsea Drugstore, which is, you can't always get what you want. The Stones wrote that about that.
So really?
It was a, you know, that little magical area of King's Road in London. You had, one side was the Royal Court where the Rocky Horror Show started. The other side was Vivian Westwood and Malcolm McLaren's shop where the Sex Pistols, you know, Sid Vicious worked. And, you know, everyone hung out in Chelsea. It was a happening thing. And Judy Garland died there in 69. And you know, lots of things. Sorry, I'll stop.
But speaking of Judy Garland, did you see Judy?
Not yet.
I watched it.
I heard it was really good. I heard she's really good.
That's really it. The movie is okay.
Mm-hmm.
She's phenomenal.
Watching the commercials were pretty stunning.
Yeah. And it's a character piece. I mean, she's basically every scene is her.
Yeah.
So that is what you're watching it for. It's not so much what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And she freaking nailed it out of the park. Yeah, she was so great.
Well, yeah, they must. The people do like it.
Uh-huh.
Clearly.
Yeah, it was really good.
Let's see. McLean Stevenson died in 96 from MASH, the guy that quit MASH and they killed him off.
He went home, and he was the one. He was pissed because originally it was pitched as kind of an ensemble thing, and then it just became the Alan Alda show. I think
is that what it was.
I think he's the one that was like, "I'm out."
As a human, I've heard not very nice things about him.
Oh, really?
But
it wasn't him. It was one of the other main.
It was a contract issue, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was a payment issue or if it was a billing issue.
Mm-hmm.
But he did quit, and they went, "Well, screw you," and they killed him, so he couldn't come back.
yeah,
that was really emotional. I remember that.
Because they announced it during the surgery. And they paused for a second. And then they have to go back to work. Yeah.
That was pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Alston died in 2018 from The Crystals, who sang "And Then He Kissed Me" and "He's a Rebel" and "The Do Run Run." Leslie Gore in 2015. Now, this is an interesting story. In 1946, a woman named Dorothy Gibson died on February 17th. Now, she and her mother were among the 25 passengers who were in lifeboat number 7 on the Titanic.
Wow.
The first to leave the ship. And they drifted 2 miles from the Titanic when they saw the ship go down. And so to watch it literally disappear into the water.
Wow.
So she said, the quote was, "I'll never forget the terrible cry that rang from the people who were thrown into the sea." Now, upon her return to New York, she quickly, they did a movie called Saved from the Titanic in 1912 that she starred in wearing the clothes that she was wearing
She
survived the Titanic.
That's like the Carpenters show where they used the actual paramedics.
So the film was released on May 14th of 1912, so just, you know, a month after the disaster, not even. So she not only starred in the film, but she co-wrote the script, of course. And she wore, but it's just fascinating. One of those things.
Wow.
Another interesting, on the 18th in 2005, a flight attendant by the name of Uli Derrickson. She was a flight attendant aboard TWA flight 847 that was hijacked by Shiite Muslim terrorists in 1985. The flight began in Athens and ended up in Beirut. And they were held for 17 days because they wanted to refuel. But the people in Beirut would not refuel them until they got payment. So this particular flight attendant paid with her Shell credit card to get...
No kidding.
Yes, to get the fuel.
That must have been a hell of a reimbursement request that she sent in, right?
She got they all thought they were going to die, you know, but she... so anyway, she died. She was the first woman to receive the U.S. Silver Medal of Honor for helping hold the hijackers at bay. So she died in 2005. Bon Scott died in 1980. Ferruccio, you should know that. Well, it's Ferruccio Lamborghini. Mr. Lamborghini.
Of the car fame, yes.
93. In 2003, the Station Club fire disaster.
Which is
with
awful. Jack Russell.
Jack Russell from...
Of White Shark. Great White.
Great White. Great White Shark.
Of Great White.
We
shouldn't
make light of that
one. I was a fan of Great White, but have you ever seen the video of that?
Yes.
It's horrifying. It's one of the most horrifying videos I've ever seen because it starts inside the club as they start to play, and then you see the flames... go up into the ceiling.
You know what's going to happen.
And immediately start, and you're like, oh, shit. Yeah. And luckily, the guy on the camera booked it out of there and got out. But then what happened was people got piled up against the exit trying to get out, and they died. They suffocated from the toxic fumes and everything. And then the guy went around to a side entrance, to a side door that nobody was coming out of. It was like the side by the stage.
Yeah.
And he's shouting in there for people to come out the side door, and nobody's coming out. And it's just they all just panicked and ran to the back, which makes sense. You're going to run away from the flames.
Yeah.
But hundreds of people died in that, right? And it was horrible. It killed 100 people and injured 230. It's just terrible.
Literally 100 people died?
100 people died in that fire. Yeah.
Christ.
It's terrible. And it sucks because, look, it's at that point, you know, their glory years are behind them. It's a novelty thing to go out to a Great White show. Do you know what I mean? So I just, you know, everybody was out there.
Nobody knew.
For just a fun time. We're going to watch an old band, you know, that's past their prime, but it's going to be fun. You know what I mean? Probably people dressed up in kind of 80s hair band rocker attire to go and all that.
A lot of hairspray.
And then this horrible, and then those pyrotechnics go off and light everything on fire and everybody dies. Yeah, terrible.
Just absolutely terrible. Now,
terrible.
1974, Tim Horton died, a professional hockey player who actually the donut chain is
Tim
named
Hortons
after.
Tim is Horton, after him.
Yeah, who died in an accident.
What was the accident?
Well, he was flying down the street somewhere in Ontario in a car, drunk, two times past the legal limit, and he was flying down the street, and there was an open pothole. And his car hit the pothole.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And the manhole cover, mean?
Like, it was gone.
Like the manhole was empty. There was no cover over the manhole, and he hit that.
Right. And just
that'll
went flying.
Mess you up. Yeah, that'll mess you up.
So he was killed from the injuries in that.
And you look, he was drunk driving, but also that could have happened to you stone sober, too.
Yeah.
Especially at night. You would have seen it to the last second. You know what I mean? I'm not advocating drunk driving. Everybody use Uber, Lyft.
Right.
Get a ride.
In 76, Florence Ballard of the Supremes, who was kicked out of the Supremes and for being a live wire, really, because she didn't like to be the back seat of Diana Ross, who, in fairness, was the more charismatic of the three.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the Supremes at the beginning, and then Diana Ross was put front and center, and the other girls sidelined to giving ooh ooh ah ahs, and so Flo didn't deal well with that. Dream Girls, largely, they say, loosely based on Florence Ballard, but she died in 1976 She's like 32. You know, yeah. She died, you know, they say, of old age at the age of 32. Yeah. The original Bubble Boy, the kid that was so sensitive to any immunity issues, he died in 1984. And his tombstone, because they did the movie John Travolta, The Boy in the Plastic Bubble, he lived in this, you know, isolated environment. And his tombstone, it says, he never touched the world, but the world was touched by him.
Okay.
In 1900, a man by the name of Dan Rice died on February 22nd. He was a circus entertainer. He was a notable circus clown, and he made enough money to buy his own little circus.
Back when that was a thing you could be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you still can. It's just not your look to find.
Not for any good reasons.
Differently. But he's the guy that coined the phrase, jump on the bandwagon.
No kidding.
Yeah, he is. He is inviting.
Don't you like clowns now, Scott?
He would campaign for his friend Zachary Taylor, who would eventually become president. Zachary Taylor became president, didn't he? It's one of those weird names.
That is weird. Did we have a president named Zach? I know we've had a Taylor.
He might have been the other one that was assassinated. I don't know.
Mm-mm. Mm. Holy cow, 12th U.S. president.
Okay.
Learn something new every day. We're getting into U.S. history. We're covering clown history.
So, he was trying to get Taylor to ride in the circus bandwagon during parades, which started the phrase, jump the bandwagon.
Unbelievable.
And he was also, they say, largely responsible for being the model for Uncle Sam, for the character Uncle Sam.
No kidding. Yeah. The clown was?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, somebody needs to make a movie about
Daniel McLaren, right?
Zachary Taylor, I believe, did die in office, but he wasn't assassinated. He had some stomach hitting. He had Crohn's or some type of stomach disease.
And Dan Rice became a member of the Clown Hall of Fame. There's one.
There's a Clown Hall of Fame.
There is. I wonder where it is. It's probably in Florida, like, where the Barnum and Bailey Circus School is.
Right.
Gibson Town, which is like one of my goals to go there.
Yeah,
where all the freaks, and I'll call them that because that's what they call themselves. All the freaks would winter. You know, the little midget family and the half lady Gina Tomani,
right,
who ran the hotel with her giant husband.
They have their own community or whatever.
Grady
yeah.
Stiles, the lobster boy, who was murdered by. Yeah, that's a crazy story, too. Lobster Boy? Oh, my God.
I produced, or not produced, but was somewhat associated with a show that did kind of strange deaths and strange tales, and Lobster Boy was one of the
ones they
covered.
We should do a Sideshow Freaks one. I would love that.
Yes, and we could talk about the movie Freaks while we're at it.
Yeah.
That would be great, actually, to talk about Pinhead and...
Oh, Chang and Eng Bunker. And you know, he's been hanging out at the shop.
And who you have, Schlitzy.
Yeah, Naomi Grossman, who played Pepper in American Horror Story. She's been at the shop a few times now in the last few weeks.
There you go.
And she's really fun, but she's Pepper, and she embraces it. Her fan art, people send her Schlitzy Pepper fan art, and her whole closet is filled with them. But anyway, but that's what I have for February. Those are our fun February anniversaries. A lot of these are on the Find a Death or on the Death of Day calendar. That is the app, the free app that we have, deathaday.com.
Uh-huh. And every day, it's free and ad free and all that stuff.
Yeah, and you get a little push notice every day about somebody famous who died on that day, mm-hmm. how they died, where they're buried, and usually a little weird fact about their lives or their deaths. Who's today's end? Oh, we're not supposed to talk about today, right?
No, that's okay. You can talk about today.
Because today is
the 16th January, I think. We're talking to you from 2 weeks in the past, people.
I didn't get my push notice yet for today.
Voice from
but
the
today's anniversary death for Carol Lombard, who died in a plane crash.
Kidding. Oh, that's right.
Just outside of, on the way between Vegas and Los Angeles.
So sad.
Slammed into the side of Mount Potosi.
Yeah, and, awful.
Yeah,
and she was on a fundraising tour or something.
Yeah,
like
war
that.
Bonds.
War bonds. Yeah,
and she and her mother, I think, were the only civilians on the plane that went into the side of a mountain. But what's weird is, Mike, the plane's still up there.
Yeah, because it's such. I remember reading this. It's such a remote place. You can't. Really
you can
get
hike
to
up
it.
To it. A lot of people I know have, and there's wreckage up there.
I would love to.
There's like bones up there. I'm not even joking.
Really?
I'm not saying that to be funny. There is a plane
they
wreck.
Never did
it is
recovery.
Literally the biggest pieces that couldn't be hauled down because they brought down the bodies in like. Donkeys and stuff, or what they could scoop
what they
up
could,
of them.
Yeah, and it was so remote that it was the war.
There's still
resources
somebody.
Were
my friend Steve Goldstein brought me a button from a shirt button that was found up there.
Oh my goodness!
A piece of the charred like aluminum from the frame. I mean, it is. It's still up there. It's nuts.
And this is outside Vegas.
It's treacherous. You can't just walk
it's
up.
It's not
there.
A trail.
It's like a whole day thing.
Yeah.
But it's still there. There's video on. Actually, I linked the video on the app.
That reminds me of a story that just happened this past week. These people found bones, human remains, up in the Sierras, kind of out near Lone Pine, around Mount Whitney. And they at first they thought, because it looked like the skull had been bashed in, they thought that maybe they found a murder victim. So police showed up, of course, law enforcement investigated. And it turned out what it was this guy who had been, he was Japanese-American, he'd been in prison there in the internment camp, Japanese internment camp that was nearby. And at the end of the war, like kind of the last year, they kind of just stopped really patrolling, and the guards weren't in the towers anymore, and people could pretty much come and go as they wanted. A lot of people left and went home. Some people stayed because they had nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, it was easy to just sneak out and go do stuff. And so what happened was this Japanese-American guy, he was in his 40s. He'd heard that a group was of younger people in their 20s were going to go hike up into the Sierras and go on a fishing trip. And he begged and begged and begged for them to take him, and they didn't want to because he was older, but eventually he convinced them, and he was like 46 or something, not in good shape, but he finally convinced them to take him up there. So he went with them, and he was going to paint. And so he took his painting supplies, and they got to a certain place, and he said, "This is good, I'm going to stop here. You go ahead and then pick me up on your way back." So they agreed, so they went off without him. And then that day, it was the middle of July, middle of the summer, and a freak snowstorm hit up there. And the group of fishermen hid in a cave, and then when they came out, they couldn't find him. And it wasn't until like a few months later that a search party found what was left of his remains up there. Mm-hmm. And they just buried him under some rocks and put kind of a makeshift headstone. And his widow, sent a blanket to wrap him up in, like a sheet to wrap his body in, and that was it. So then, fast forward 60, 70 years, this group of hikers up there last week or a couple weeks ago refound him. So I think he's being more properly interred.
Did you know that's fascinating? Did you know that there's just a shit ton of bodies on Mount Everest?
Yeah.
And the people use them as landmarks.
They use them as waypoints.
It's like, oh, there's the blue shoes guy, right there.
Yeah.
It's crazy. There's a whole bunch of them up there.
I got pitched a great show about something kind of related to that one time, a documentary idea, and I still want to do it really badly. But yeah, it's nuts, all the stuff. And
there's a whole bunch of them. There's pictures of them. They're like, it looks like they fell asleep. I mean, there's faces and everything. It's crazy.
Yeah, because they're preserved. Yeah. They're basically frozen in place. And the thing basically is, if you kind of fall by the wayside on Everest, you're dead.
Right.
Because nobody else has the energy to help you. Because it takes all the energy to help yourself, basically.
They're supposed to put a cap on those people now going up to that, because there is literally a line of people going up there now.
It's become ridiculous. It's become just a rich person's thing to go up and get some Sherpas to basically help him get to the top so he can say he climbed Everest. And there's a trash problem up there. It's become
That's a hell
a bad
of an accomplishment.
Issue.
But yeah, it's just become a thing. The internet ruins everything.
It's not as cool as it would have been, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, in my opinion. Anyways, just Photoshop yourself onto a picture of Everest and say you freaking did it.
Been there.
Done it. Went to base camp, took a picture, came home. Yeah.
I wonder how many people like make it almost to the top and go, I can't go any further. How shitty
it's
would that
happened.
Be?
It's happened, yeah.
How shitty would that be?
And just been like, I'm going to die as it is. I better turn around. And
oh, my God. To get that close.
It. You can see it and you don't make it.
Oh, my God. That would be devastating.
And how many people died because they were like, no, I'm going to do it. And then it's like, no, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that it? Is that February? Have we done it?
I think
Carol Lombard, and we're today in January. Yeah. And yeah, okay. So yeah. Carol Lombard was January 16th, and all the other ones were February. So.
That being said, until next time.
Until next time, everybody. SNL is next.
SNL. Yeah, we'll see. Freaks, too. Might do that
or Freaks,
too.
Yeah.
One way thanks, you guys, for listening. And don't forget to check out BetterHelp.com.
H-E-L-P. BetterHelp.
They are good people.
Yes.
And they will help you.
Yes. Bye. Hey, folks, one last thing. We just launched on Patreon. A lot of people suggested that we do that. They'd like to support the podcast, so we set that up. And from now on, all of our mini episodes like this one today will be exclusive to our patrons only. You can join for as little as just $2 a month to help us keep the show going. I love Patreon. I support some other folks through it myself. And so our regular episodes like Woodstock, Poltergeist, etc., that we do every month, those are going to still be free for everyone and will stay that way for forever. But shows like this in between, like this episode today, are going to just be for our patrons only. So please head over to patreon.com/dearlydepartedpod. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. reon.com/dearlydepartedpod to sign up. Thanks, everybody.
This has been an episode of the Dearly Departed Podcast. Dig up more episodes at dearlydepartedpod.com and on iTunes and Google Play. See you next time.